Thank you, worship team. Well, we're in this new series for the month of February called Stories of Us, and really it's just a relationship series where we're kind of walking through the one another's in the New Testament. That phrase, one another, occurs really over 100 times in the New Testament, but approximately 59 of those times are specific commands teaching us how and how not to relate to one another. And I really believe obedience to those commands are so important. They're imperative, right? It forms really the basis of all true Christian community and has a direct impact on our witness to the world. So much so that when we started The Rock almost 20 years ago, we put that in our membership packet that, you know, being a member is not just signing a roster or, you know, opening your name on the list, but it's actually, you know, loving, leading, and helping others grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ as we come along together and we live out the one another's. And last week we started with what I think is the most important one another, and that's to love one another. To love one another just as Christ loved us. That people will know that we are His disciples if we love one another. That if we begin to do that, right? If we begin to love God and love people with this love that comes from God, well, then change can begin to happen. And people will know that there's a difference in us because of the way we live our lives in relationship with one another, right? And I think if we get that down, right? If we're committed to that, and if every day you're waking up and say, God, how can I love one another today? That out of that love, out of that God love, that sacrificial love, will flow the rest of the one another's to encourage one another, and pray for each other, and be devoted to one another, and to greet one another. Yeah, and then especially today's one another that we're going to look at today, we're going to look at bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Before we get started, each week we're having, you know, someone come up and just share stories of one anothering. And this morning we have a special pleasure. Phil and Lynette Abbott are here this weekend. So I've asked Phil to come and kind of share with us this morning. So come on up, Phil. So Phil has been a part of The Rock almost since the beginning, and now he feels like he has to, you know, spend some time here and some time in North Carolina. I don't know why that is, but I just wanted him to come and share a little bit with you guys today. Really, maybe how you have seen this one another of carrying each other's burdens, bearing each other's burden, kind of lived out in The Rock church life over the years. Oh, yeah,
that'd be some of you have heard me speak at times here, and oftentimes I'll use movie references, and people have referred to me as a movie line savant. And if you look up the definition, one of the definitions is it's a brilliant idiot, okay? So, but I'll probably make a reference here, and one of the references is coming back home and just walking through the doors, and it's like the line from the movie Field of Dreams, where he says that you'll have memories so thick that you'll have to brush them from your face. And that's really kind of what Lynette and I have experienced this weekend, in particular today in worship and in Bible study, just the affirmation and the friendship and the love we've gotten from every one of you. And if I had to say in a nutshell what the one another means to myself and my journey as a Christian, I became a Christian as an adult, probably in my 30s, and I would break it down just in the three, the names from the New Testament, Paul, Barnabas, and Timothy. I think Paul is a mentor, a teacher, someone that you can look up to learn and grow in your spiritual faith. And God has given me that through The Rock. God has given me my brother Monty as my Paul. We have journeyed for 35 years together, and we met in the back. We were driving up to a North Carolina rafting trip, believe it or not, and we met as young men, and he was in the back seat of the car in our conversation. We had a 10-hour drive, and God took it from there. And then he has been my mentor and my Paul to not only grow me in the faith, but also carry my burdens through some tough times. And God, and through The Rock, has given me a Barnabas. that person that is the encourager, that's the friend, that's the equal. And there's so many of you here that are my Barnabas. There's Joe McLeod. There's Rick Pataglia. Rick, you are absolutely my Barnabas. All the elders that I work with. And God's given me all that through the rock. And then there's the Timothy, that person that you have been able to mentor and grow. And God's given me this rich reward of having Bryant Cable and Jeff Shields and others. These were young men that I taught when they were 16, 17 back in high school, and making them do push-ups that they didn't know the Bible verse. Seriously, you know, and then for every word that they didn't, if it was a 30-word Bible verse, you had to drop them to 30. So, you know, just crazy things like that. But now we see them as adults, and they are not only not a Timothy, but now they're a Barnabas to me, and in some ways even a Paul, where they'll carry my burdens and help me grow in my faith as well. So the life of community in a church is absolutely vital to our walk. We cannot live a life, a vibrant life, a growing life, if you do not do it in a family of believers. And this, the Rock, is that family. It is that home. It's been our home for almost 20 years, and I want it to really be your home. You cannot live a life of solitary faith that's going to grow and be obedient and impact other people. You've got to have a family. And so what I want to do, it may be a little cheesy, but I want everybody to close their eyes, and I want to think for a moment from the line from the movie Wizard of Oz, and before Dorothy is going back and she's leaving, she says this line over and over again. It says, there's no place like home. So who is your Barnabas in your home, in this church? If you don't have one, if one doesn't come to mind, seek that person or persons out. There is no place like home. Who is your Barnabas? Who is that encourager, the person that you walk in faith with, that loves you and is an equal with you and grows you because of that partnership? And then there's no place like home. Who's your Timothy? Find him or her. They probably won't seek you out. They won't seek you out. So let me just close in prayer with this word of encouragement. Heavenly Father, the Rock is our home that you have given us. There is no place like home. And we thank you for this home. And we give you all the honor and the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Excellent. How many of you wish I would just ask him to preach this morning, right? Oh, throw a question out there and let him go, right? Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, this command, bear one another's burdens, comes from Galatians 6:2, where Paul tells the church of Galatia, he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, carry one another's burdens, come alongside each other and support one another so that you fulfill the law of Christ, so that you fulfill, you know, the law to love your God with everything that you have, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that you love others in that same kind of way. Paul says to bear one another's burdens. You know, when we were coming through December, very busy time in the life of a church, our lives as well, you know, just back-to-back things going on. We finally get through Christmas Eve, we get to Christmas, and, you know, we wake up and, you know, throw stuff in the car, and we drive all the way to Birmingham, and then we spend, like, I don't know, 7 to 8, 9 days with our kids and with our grandchildren, and, you know, when we come back from that trip, and I carry the crud back with me just so that they won't have it there up there. And we get home, and it's like, you know, you get home and you've made it through that month and through that week, and you, whew, right? You just, and you know, I kind of felt like this raccoon looks right here after that. I mean, I was like, okay, I'm done. I felt like, you know, I had to go, you know, I felt like I had gone through this emotional hurricane, so to speak. Like, it was like, okay, I give, right? But what I love about stepping into a new year is that right out of the gate, right out of the gate, we get to look back and reflect on the things that maybe burdened us through this past year. And we can look at those and we can pray about those. But even more than that, we can begin to look forward into our future. And I love the special time that God gives us at the beginning of a new year to look forward. And so I begin to look forward in that first week and just think about this, you know, the different series and messages that God was laying upon my heart, and just thinking about this one another series, and I just felt like, you know, God was kind of just sharing into my heart, you know, Monty, you're going to need one another in this year. The 2024 is going to be a crazy year, and people are going to carry, you know, different burdens on their lives, right? And our culture are going to put different burdens on people, and you know, it's an election year, and all that goes with that, you know, how our culture wants to move us away from Christ and the things of Christ, and wants to divide even his church. And he says, you know, you're going to need one another. You're going to need to bear one another's burdens. And so I want to walk with you this year, and us together to do that with one another, right? When it comes to things that burden us in life, there's usually two categories, right? There's the heavy things that we pick up, and then there's the heavy things that are put on us, right? And it doesn't really matter if it's something you've done to yourself or something someone else has done to you. They're just really experiences and events in life that can weigh us down. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Because he understood that the world wants to add to your weight. Wants to add that an extra load to you, and Jesus specifically wants to lighten your load. And you see this with all the interactions Jesus had with different individuals. They always left his presence feeling lighter. And there's a reason for that. Someone said once that Jesus strategically moves people away from lies and towards the truth. Put that up there. Away from captivity and towards freedom. Away from pain and towards healing. I mean, just take the woman at the well. You remember that story? The woman at the well who had slept with at least six men that we know of. And Jesus lifts that burden of shame that she's shouldering and says, here, I can show you where to find real love. Or take the guy named Zacchaeus that had swindled hundreds of people out of their hard-earned money. And Jesus lifts the blame of guilt off of him that he's shouldering. And he says, I can show you where to find real wealth. Or how about the woman caught in adultery? And Jesus says to her, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? And she says, no, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I. And he lifts her up and says, go and sin no more. I believe that's why Jesus could say in Matthew 11, 28, a very familiar passage from Jesus. It says, then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, Jesus says, and the burden I give you is light. In the message, it says to keep company with Jesus, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And I think many of us have experienced that firsthand, right? We've come along beside each other, and we've helped each other carry the burdens of life. And listen, we can't, you know, we can help carry those together, but we gotta carry those and go with those to Jesus. For He's the one that can give that rest. And some of us have experienced that. And so there is this sincere desire in a lot of us to share that with other people. That when we move towards people, you know, this week and, you know, this month and throughout this year, I want to encourage us to be sympathetic and compassionate. And in your mind, think, wow, that could be me, or that has been me, right? Whether it's someone struggling with an addiction or going through depression or anxiety or through a divorce or through a loss of a loved one or through one physical sickness or illness. If you haven't been through those things before, at some point in your life you probably will, because we're all human. And there are just certain problems and challenges that we're all going to have to face and deal with in this life. And it makes life very challenging for us. And so I really want to encourage us all to be on the lookout, for people who might be shouldering, first of all, they might be shouldering an emotional burden. And when we see that, we'll come alongside of them and do what we can to lighten their load. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. There is this new craze out there called rucking. Anybody ever heard of this? Rucking, R-U-C-K-I-N-G. Well, what it is, rucking is an old German word that comes from der Rucken, which means the back. And so what's going on now, and if you're not a runner, you might not know this, or someone that walks a lot, that they're making these, it really comes from the military, where they would put a rucksack on them, a backpack that had a lot of weight in it, right? A lot of weight in it, and then they would carry it with them. Well, now it's kind of, you know, spilled over into the runner's world. And so, you know, they have these rucksacks that you can buy for like unbelievable amounts of money, but this is just my backpack right here. And so I just thought about it. I was going to try this, right? And so I put some weights in here, right? And so I have about, I don't know, 15 pounds of weight in here. And I thought, you know, put this on. You know, Phil and I went jogging yesterday. And Phil was always about 20 yards in front of me. But we went jogging yesterday. And I thought, wow, you know, he kind of explained this to me. And I thought, well, maybe I could do this, right? And if I said I'm going to run 100 yards with this extra 20 pounds on my back, you'd say, yeah, well, you can do this, man. You can do it. Go ahead. But if I said, you know, I'm going to try to run a 5K, right, which is all the way around the lake and back to my house, I said, you think I could do that? You think I could do that with this extra 25? Come on now. It might be a little more difficult. You'd be feeling what I'm feeling. There might be a cramp or, you know. But if I said, hey, what if I ran a half marathon or maybe even a marathon with an extra 20 pounds on my back? And how many of you think I could do that? Yeah. Yeah, not a chance, right? I mean, even if I did, at the end of the day, I'd have to, you know, I'd probably have to see a physical therapist or, you know, a chiropractor or maybe even an orthopedic surgeon or whatever. And my whole point is, you know, my whole point is that the longer that you carry something, the longer that you carry it, the heavier it becomes, right? The heavier it becomes. And where this is true of a bag of weights, it's definitely true of worry. Or, for instance, you know, a cancer diagnosis, it's heavy. It's heavy. Or working two jobs just to barely make ends meet, that's heavy. It's heavy. And the longer we carry these burdens, the heavier they actually become. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety weighs down the heart. And the truth is, if we're really honest with ourselves, there's this subtle, draining worry that that really all of us deal with from day to day that we don't like to admit. And it's really something we all have in common, and that is that we worry about what other people might be thinking about us. Anybody ever worry about that? Right? Begin to look at others and kind of compare us, and we worry about that. Let me illustrate this way. If you go to a restaurant, right, and you're looking at the menu, and you want a burger, and they got their burger on the menu, and it looks something like this. It's like, yes, right? It's tasty. It's, you know, I mean, it looks filling, and, you know, and it looks awesome. And by the time it gets to your table, it looks like this. Right? Flat, dry, tasteless. And social media kind of does a similar thing, right? If you really think about it. It allows people to present themselves in a very perfect and polished way, just like that hamburger on the menu, when in reality, none of us are perfect and polished. It's leading, you know, this comparison problem, it's leading psychologists to say that OCD is not just obsessive compulsive disorder. It's this new thing that they're referring to as obsessive comparison disorder. Listen to what Paul Ngannou writes right here. He's an author that really speaks into the 20-somethings. And so if you want to look up his books, he's just a great author that really speaks to that generation right now. He says this: obsessive comparison disorder is our compulsion to constantly compare ourselves with others, producing unwanted thoughts and feelings that drive us to depression, consumption anxiety, and all-around joyous discontent. Every day we're trying to pull off a branded, dazzling, filtered, edited, and possibly epic and otherworldly life that no one could possibly be living. Kind of reminds me of in Luke 10 about the Martha and Mary story. You remember it? Luke 10, 38. Jesus and his disciples were on their way, and he came to the village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. And it says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus said, Martha, you're distracted by things that don't matter. And the Greek word Jesus uses there for distracted is parespao. Parespao, and it means to drag something around. And what most of us are dragging around in the day-to-day is a mindset that says we have to keep up with the people around us. We have to have the perfect resume, or we have to go on this perfect vacation, or have a perfect wedding, or, you know, this diet just to get the perfect body. And these are the burdens emotionally that most of us are carrying, to the point that majority of college students today will say that they are dealing with crippling anxiety because they're feeling all kinds of society pressure, you know, to get good grades or to get a good job or to perform in a certain way. And we really all have this anxiety, right? Our generation will work 181 hours more than the previous one. We'll work an extra month in the same 12-month period. 80% of mothers feel unbearable stress. 70% of the 80 say they are sleep deprived. It's parespao. We're dragging around emotional burdens that God didn't create us to carry. And so listen, as we move into this year, let us be on the lookout for people who are shouldering these kinds of things and help them lighten their load by pointing them to Jesus and His church. At the same time, be on the lookout for people who also might be shouldering a physical burden. A physical burden. And I kind of, you know, as I was doing this, I was struggling with this one a little bit. But what I'm talking about really is this burden that we have, this constant push for more in our lives, right? There's things that drive us to constantly be, you know, keep pushing for more. Why must we always have more achievement in our careers, or more money in our bank account, or more activities on our schedule, more experiences and thrills and, you know, and pleasures? What is it that drives you to have more and more and more? We need to deal with that question. If you really think about it, Americans are spending far more than they take in. And Jesus said, life's not measured by how much you own. But our culture does not believe that is true. This year, the average American will throw away 1,600 pounds of stuff. We'll throw away 25% of all the food we purchase. And you can go on and on. My point is that we get what we get, we end up getting rid of. And we keep forgetting that we tend to buy these things, hoping these things are going to satisfy us and secure us, when in and of themselves, they're not capable of doing that or delivering on that. And you really begin to see this. You know when you really begin to see this? You really begin to see this at the end of life. You never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer, right? And even when, you know, a person's at the end of their life, I've never had anyone say, hey, could you go get my boat real quick and just kind of pull it up to the window so I can see it one last time? Now, what do they say? Hey, could you go get my friend, or, you know, this family member? I just want to tell them I love them, or I want to thank them, or tell them I'm sorry, or whatever, right? It's always people, not possessions. That's why I love this about the Apostle Paul. He was always living at death's door. I mean, the Romans wanted him dead, the Jews wanted him dead. And if you read his letters that Paul wrote in the New Testament, at the end of every one of them, he mentions people. It's interesting to me. It's people that he wants to see one last time. People that he wants to greet one last time. And maybe that's why at the end of one of his letters, he said in Philippians 4:12, he says, I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He says, I can do all things, not in my own strength, but through Him, through Jesus, who gives me strength. I think what Paul was trying to say was, you know, was sharing with us that he was a lot like Jesus, right? He was relationally rich, but maybe financially poor. And I really believe that our culture is pursuing the wrong kind of wealth, and it's leaving us feeling lonely. It's leaving us feeling relationally impoverished, and that is a burden that none of us can carry, and we weren't created to carry it. I love this story that John Ortberg writes about in his book, The Life You Always Wanted. He shares an experience he had with his best friend since childhood, and he writes this. He says, several years ago, my friend Chuck called me to tell me he had cancer. He said the initial prognosis was very good, although he did have to undergo difficult treatment. In typical fashion, Chuck shaved his head before the chemotherapy began, covered it with glue, sprinkled it with gold glitter, and walked around the house in his underwear, calling himself the chemo man. He said, my friend Chuck pulled through and eventually completed the treatment. Chemo man had prevailed. He said, but a month later, Chuck had his first post-treatment checkup, and he called me that night, and he said, John, the cancer's back. The doctor said it's at levels as high as it has been before the treatment. And being a doctor himself, Chuck knew that the return of the cancer this strongly, this quickly, meant that he was going to die. It was really a death sentence. And so they kind of just both sit there and cried on the phone. But a week later, the doctors called Chuck back and said, "Hey, this hadn't happened ever in the history of my medicine career, but there was a mix-up at the lab. Your test results got mixed up with another patient who has not even had the treatment yet. You're actually cancer-free." And there was silence on Chuck's end of the phone. He didn't know what to say, and so the doctor wanted to fill that awkward silence. So he said, "Do you want me to give you the name of the lab so you can call the guy and cuss him out?" And Chuck said, "Cuss him out? No, I want to kiss him." That day, Chuck found out he was not going to die yet, that he could raise his children, that he could love his wife. It was the best day Chuck ever had. Now, what happened outwardly? What did he gain? Nothing, really. I mean, he didn't win the lottery. He didn't get promoted. He didn't inherit a fortune. He didn't become famous. He didn't buy a new house. He just got another day. Another day to do the same thing he did every day. That's all. He ate the same breakfast, kissed the same wife goodbye, drove the same old car to the same old job, came home to the same old house, had dinner at the same old table. Only now he knew the things that had burdened him before faded into utter insignificance. He was going to live. And suddenly he did not just know intellectually, but actually experienced the truth that life is a gift. That every tick of the clock is a gift from God. Every day, a celebration. And so as we travel through this year, when someone comes to your mind, right? When you know that they're carrying some of those kind of burdens, can I challenge you to call them, to text them, to send them an email? Even more importantly, physically go see them. Physically touch them. And I promise you, if you do that over the next 12 months, at the end of this year, you're going to feel less lonely and more wealthy, and so will all the people around you. Shoulder emotional burdens for people. Carry physical burdens for people. And last, be on the lookout for people who might be carrying a spiritual burden. You know, as I said, as I have stepped into this new year, I just feel like that we're going to be, so many of us, carrying these spiritual burdens. Again, as the culture tries to, again, move us away from the things of Christ. You know, as the culture tries to bring division in relationships. I think there's so much deception and confusion around so many subjects, like the environment or gender or sexuality or justice. And listen, those are not insignificant topics. I mean, these are important topics. But if you listen, most of the things being said around those subjects are laden with fear. And that's a burden. And it's creating more and more anxiety, more and more depression. And that's how I know Satan is involved. And when we watch Satan, he works in the opposite way that Jesus does. He moves people away from truth and toward lies, away from freedom and towards captivity, away from healing and towards pain. And if we are to be this countercultural people, right, which means we do not jump into the directional push of our culture, it means that we cannot continue to add to the burdens of people. God's calling us to be a church who comes alongside one another and begins to take burdens off. And so, you know, when this little social experiment that our culture is going through right now fails, and it will fail miserably, there will be people that will be carrying burdens because of decisions that they've made. And in that moment, as followers of Jesus, we lovingly, compassionately move towards their pain and do what Jesus did, right? We move them from lies to truth, captivity to freedom, pain to healing. See, Jesus said, keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly. And that's what I want for us. Share each other's troubles and problems, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and in this way, obey our Lord's command. But you know this, I can't share your troubles and problems if you don't share. And you can't share my troubles and problems if I don't share. In fact, if we don't share with each other, if we don't let someone know that we're hurting, we can't even do what God wants us to do. God wants us to obey the Lord's commands and share each other's troubles and problems. But we can't do that until we let someone know that we're hurting. God didn't make us go through our burdens alone. In fact, you can't, right? You might think you can. You might think, I'll just buck up, right? I'll just do this in my own strength. I'll get through this. And one day you'll see I can handle this all on my own. Listen, you can't. We need each other to carry burdens, right? To come alongside each other and help carry our burdens to Jesus and to His church. And I've shared this with you before, but I wanted to do it again. We need each other to help us carry burdens by walking with one another. Coming alongside each other and just walking together. You never were meant to walk through life alone. And the reason that we don't want to do that is because, one, it's just safer. Right? It's safer to walk through life with others. It's supportive. And what I mean by that is it keeps you from giving up. When you're walking with other people, you get the energy to keep on going that you wouldn't have if you were doing it by yourself. Right? I got to run with Phil yesterday morning around the lake, and as I said, his pace is a lot stronger than mine, right? I'm running alone, when you're running a long distance, there comes a time when you get a stitch in your side. You know, that's about like mile 10 for me. Really, I think that was like step 20 yesterday with Phil. You know, he's always like, you okay? Yeah, I'm okay, yeah. But he just kept encouraging me, and I was able to keep going. We need people walking with one another so that you can keep going. There's an old Zambian proverb that says, when you run alone, you run fast, but when you run together, you run far. And that same is true in your life. So we need to help each other carry burdens by walking with one another, also by working with one another. To come alongside each other and work out this call that God has on our lives. To come alongside each other and just work with one another so that we don't live life fatigued. So that we don't get overwhelmed by everything that's going on. We begin to work with one another. We carry each other's burdens by watching out for one another. You know, I'm talking about people who defend you, right? Stand up for you and protect you. Talking about those people in my life who keep me staying on track, right? Watching my backside, warning me. We all need this because we all have blind spots, right? And what we'll do sometimes, we'll say, you know, I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks, and you ask somebody, hey, could you kind of keep an eye on my house, look out for my stuff? We all want our stuff looked out for, right? And that's good. That's a good thing to have your stuff looked out for, watched out for. But my question is, not is anybody watching out for your stuff, but is anybody watching out for your soul? I mean, your soul is a whole lot more important than your stuff. We need to carry each other's burdens by walking and working and watching out for each other, and finally by weeping with one another. You know, those moments where we wait and we weep. I'm kind of talking about, you know, that we wait while I'm sitting there waiting for bad news. You're there with me. And then we weep. We weep when we get bad news. I need people with me in the inevitable crisis of life. You need people with you when tragedies hit. Listen, we really don't want to face those alone. I love Ecclesiastes 4:10. It says this: if one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. People that are there together doing the one another's, carrying each other's burdens to Jesus and to His church. And that's really my dream, to be a church that lives out the one another's. A Jesus community so relentlessly loving that people who thought they had given up on the church, people who did not think they would ever want to be in the same room with people who are just different, racially, ethnically, culturally, economically, sexually, morally, generationally, people like that would say of this place, I'm not sure I agree with everything they believe. I'm not sure I even understand everything they teach. But I want to get love like that. I want to get in on that love. I mean, that group loves one another. They carry each other's burdens. This is my favorite story. I usually share it one time a year. And so this is that time, so don't let me share it again this year, okay? Come with me back to that third grade classroom. You remember, there is a 9-year-old kid sitting at his desk, and all of a sudden, there's a puddle between his feet, right? And the front of his pants are wet. He thinks, you know, his heart's going to stop beating because he can't possibly imagine how this happened. I mean, it never had happened before. And he knows that when the boys find out, he will never hear the end of it. And when the girls find out, they'll never speak to him again as long as he lives. The boy believes his heart's going to stop, and he puts his head down and he prays this prayer: Dear God, this is an emergency. I need some help right now. And he looks up from his prayer, and here comes the teacher with a look in her eyes that says, he has been discovered. And as the teacher is walking toward him, a classmate named Susie is carrying a goldfish bowl that is filled with water. Susie trips right in front of the teacher and dumps the bowl of water into the boy's lap. And the boy pretends to be angry, but all the while he's saying to himself, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now all of a sudden, instead of being the object of ridicule, the boy is the object of empathy. Susie became the klux, right? She became the focus of embarrassment, and he was off the hook. Finally, at the end of the day, as they're waiting for the bus, the boy walks over to Susie and he whispers, you did that on purpose, didn't you? And Susie whispers back, I wet my pants once too. You know, Galatians 6:2, share each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. It's really always been one of my favorite verses. Primarily because it reminds me that it's part of my role as a follower of Jesus to share each other's burdens. And it makes me grateful for the people in my life who share the burdens that I carry as well. But this week, it's just been kind of hitting me differently. As I remembered that we have a God who loves us so much that He would send His Son to die on a cross for the purpose of sharing our burdens and getting into our mess. And as weird as it sounds, He became the klutz for you and for me, taking the humiliation of our choices, our sin, the shame, the guilt, all of it. He is the ultimate burden bearer. And so listen, I don't know what you came in here with this morning. What weight that you might be carrying. Maybe emotional, maybe physical, maybe spiritual, whatever. All I know is, as we finish this morning, we're going to be down front here. And I want to give you the opportunity just to come and bring your burdens. Just to come and allow, you know, me and our elders and our prayer team to just listen to you and encourage you and to pray with you. To point you to Jesus. And then maybe, just maybe, to help you leave here lighter than when you came in here this morning. Bear one another's burdens, and in that way, you fulfill the law of Christ. Pray with me, please. Father, I thank you for just, again, your presence here this morning. And Father, as we have worshiped you in song, as we have been pointed toward you in testimony, God, as we have opened up your word and allow you to speak truth into our hearts and our lives, God, I thank you that through the sacrificial gift of your Son, that you are our ultimate burden bearer. And that, Father, each one of us, wherever we are in this journey of faith, Father, maybe there's one in here this morning or some in here this morning, Father, that don't know you as that burden bearer, don't know you as their Lord or Savior. But Father, I pray that through your Spirit that you would draw them to that decision to come and give you the burden of their sin. Allow you to forgive them. Begin to change them and transform them. To help them to begin to live a life more freely and lightly because of their relationship with you. Father, most of us here in this room, we would say that we're followers of you. But God, sometimes we don't look like it because we're carrying so much weight in our lives. And so, Father, I thank you for a church that wants to and has the desire to come alongside one another and to carry burdens together. Not just to carry them together and that's where it ends, Father, but to carry them all the way to you so that you can lift it off of them, that you can lift them off of us. And we can begin to live in freedom. We can begin to live with this lightness about us. Because we know you're carrying those burdens. We know that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, oh God. So Jesus, help us. God, help us be a place that we do that we carry each other's burdens, that we be one another body of believers. And Father, just give us the courage this morning to begin that step of faith, to fulfill this one another of carrying burdens and of bringing our burdens to you and allowing Jesus to carry them. God, thank you for loving us and wanting us to be in a community of faith that gets to live out your one another's in a way that as we do that, people will see that there's something different about us. They'll see and know that we are your disciples, your followers. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.